Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
We continue on in our text, in our series, Fear No Evil. I was thinking about this last week, just fearful moments in my life, moments where, man, I just felt really scared. And I thought about a moment when I was a little kid. We had a dog, a little poodle named Buttons. How many know? That's just like, that's a man dog right there. Buttons. And I remember as a little kid that it was a storm blew up late at night. I was still awake and Buttons was missing. She ran off. And I can remember hearing my parents talking in the room next to me. My mom was upset that Buttons was gone. Where's Buttons? And I heard her say that, to my dad, you know, that lady that's been coming around the house trying to sell stuff and she's showing up all the time. She gives me the creeps. And if you knew my mom, this statement wouldn't surprise you. But as a little kid, this statement, as a thunderstorm was rolling in and the wind was howling through my window, it was just like a perfect setting to say something to freak your little kid out. And my mom said, "I think she's a witch." How many know the rest of the night it was over? I moved into my parents' room and I was just like, "Mom, Buttons may have been sacrificed by the witch," or whatever, right? It's scary. I don't know why that came back to me this week, but it did. I thought about another situation where I was just freaked out about some stuff. I think I've told this story before, but I had a friend named Fred. In middle school and elementary school, and we hung out, a group of us hung out all the time, and Fred's parents were very strong believers in the Lord, and some stuff started happening in their house. There's some stuff that started happening with Fred that was like kind of, his parents would say, demonic. Like, there was demonic activity going on in Fred's life, and there was some manifestation stuff going on. And so I was not a Christian at the time, but I had watched enough of scary movies to know, like, that's scary. And so Fred was telling us about the stuff that happened to him while his family sat down to do devotions one evening, and it just like freaked us out. And he kept saying, you know, "Hey, this stuff's going on in my room." And we sleep over at Fred's house quite often. It was like slumber party at Fred's, you know, and then we knew how to sneak out of Fred's house. And so we had the whole pattern down, and all my friends were over there at his house one afternoon, and I was supposed to go to work. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just kind of sick of this. I'm sick of this stuff, and I don't know if it's legit or not. So I'm going to take this thing into my own hands. And I got on my bike and I headed to work. And I was like, I got this. I believe it was from the Lord. I wasn't a Christian, but I just really believe that the Lord spoke to my heart. Gave me a great idea how to really scare my friends. And so I'm riding, and at Fred's house, they had, the laundry room had a door that exited out of the back house. And that was like, when we slept at Fred's, that's the door we used about every night, about 2 a.m, we'd sneak out and go, you know, gallivanting along and toilet paper before it was a felony and all these things, you know. And so I got this brilliant idea. The back door, the laundry room door is unlocked, and I'm going to show up. And so I went in, I snuck around the back of the house, and I went in, and I could hear them up in the kitchen, and they're like talking, and they're all like totally freaking each other out, totally freaked out. And the washing machine is sitting right there. And I'm like, I got him, man. And I grabbed the lid of that washing machine, and I started slamming it, and I started screaming this like evil, wicked scream. Man, it was just like, it was so awesome. It was so fun. And all of a sudden, you just hear this like massive move towards the front door. And one of my friends like dove literally like high, you know, I mean, like Superman towards the door. And one guy, the other kid, just caught the latch just in time, shattered the front storm door. And I walked out, man, I was just dying laughing. This is so funny. I walked around the corner and there they are standing out in the street, all like four or five of them. And they're just like looking at this house, waiting for it to come off the foundation. And like, it was hilarious. And then I had to like live out the rest of it and freaked myself out some more because we were like, no, Steve, you got to go downstairs and all this stuff is happening. But probably the most scary thing, one of the most scary moments in my life and in our life was when Austin was born. And at your life group, you'll hear a little bit more of that this morning. But to hear your baby gasping for air because his lungs are full with pneumonia. I mean, I remember it. I can hear that sound in my mind's eye even today. And just that fear that was there. And there's other moments where you know, things transpired and you're like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get through this? How, God, where are you in this? And as we look at this incredible soundtrack of Psalms 23, today we're in verse 4. Of this series, read it with me if you would. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You're not reading it with me. Okay, let's do over, all right? Robin had to do announcements over. We're gonna do this over. Read it with me, all right? For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Amen. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Remember, as we look at this morning, the author, the writer of this psalm, David, is coming from the perspective of a sheep. He'd been a shepherd in his former years, and so he's very familiar with this. And we have to understand that the mode of the shepherd was to really go on a pilgrimage, that he would take his sheep on a pilgrimage annually. Philip Keller writes in his book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalms 23, says that the shepherds take their sheep on an annual pilgrimage. In the winter months, they come back to the ranch, if you will, and they kind of hunker down and they endure that season, caring for their sheep, making sure that their sheep are tended for as the weather, as the environment, the climate changes, it gets cold. But the first sign of summer, the first sign of spring, that first grass turning green, the shepherd will gather up some belongings, circle up his sheep, and head out into new meadows. And the shepherd would guide them. And the only way to get to those new meadows, those high green pastures, is what? To go through the valley. And so that's the imagery of what's going on and the background of what's going on in David's mind as he writes this. And what's true, the reality is what's true for sheep is also true for us. That as you live life, that there are going to be valleys in your life. To get to new ground, to get to new places, you have to walk through some valleys. Some dark places. Let me just remind you, let me just submit to you in case you didn't know or in case you forgot, Christianity was birthed in that. There's this thing called Good Friday. Good for us, it was bad for Jesus. And Good Friday came, and then there was Saturday. Saturday really is the dark night of your soul. It's your hope that Sunday's coming, but it's not here yet, and it feels like a really, really long day, and it feels like a day that's just maybe repeating itself over and over again, but you have this hope of a Sunday that's your mountaintop, that's your green pastures, that's the place that you're pressing onto, that's the place that you want to get to, but the valley is your Saturday. And you're hoping for Sunday, but Saturday's here, and Sunday may be a long ways away. It's in that valley where anxiety hits, isn't it? It's in that valley where doubts come into play. If you aren't familiar with David, he knew about these valleys both literally as a shepherd, but also figuratively. I mean, literally as a shepherd boy, he would work those valleys as he moved the family's herd into those high, lush green pastures. In those valleys, he would encounter bandits. He would encounter bears. He would encounter cougars or lions or other forms of predators that would try to attack the sheep that he was responsible. In those valleys, he would face falling rocks and dangerous flash floods. That's what was before him. But figuratively, he knew the value of the valley as well. He knew the valley of being overlooked by his dad as a prophet came into the home and said, "Hey, Jesse, show me your sons because one of them is going to be king. The next king, he's going to replace Saul. Where are your sons?" And so Jesse called for his sons and brought them in one by one by one, right? You know the story. And with each one, Samuel said, "Not him, not him, not him, not him. You got anyone better than this? Not him. Not him," and went down the line, right? And Jesse's like, "That's all I got." And Samuel's like, "That's it? Are you sure this is it?" And Jesse's like, "Oh, I do. I have one more, and he's out taking care of the sheep." Totally overlooked by his dad. Saul is pursuing him and wanting to hunt him down, wanting to kill him. It's a valley. His own conduct and decisions brought loss into his life. It's a valley. Perhaps because of his war battles, maybe he too suffered from PTSD, as so many people suffer from that today. It's a valley. He was betrayed by his son. It's a valley. He was married to a crazy woman. That's a valley. The valley, the shadows of life. Let me ask you this morning, what's scaring you right now? What evil is looking at you and sizing you up and circling you? What is keeping you up at night? As I think about this evil, this shadow of death, it brings to the table a word that is unfortunately way too common in our culture. In fact, it's really epidemic, and it's the word anxiety. I mean, we hear it so often. I feel I'm just anxious. I have anxiety over this. I have anxiety, you know, because of that. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that in proper time he may exalt you." Under the mighty hand of God, so that as you work your way through the valley, as you press on through this valley, as you wander through this valley, in proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That word anxiety there, literally in the Greek, means to divide, to separate, to pull apart. So what do you do? What do we do with that in our culture? What do we do with anxiety? You know, we try to protect ourselves. Some people, "Well, man, I can't sleep at night because I'm wrestling with this and this and this and this." And so they take sleeping pills. Other people will take a drink at night, and they'll drink at night. Why? They have to have a glass of something at night because it helps take the edge off. They say. They'll sleep with the TV on to drown out the fear, to drown out the worry, to drown out the silence, or we'll sleep with our phone by our bed. In case we wake up in the middle of the night, we can get lost in the endless search of what's happening in the world, or scroll through lines and lines of social media to try to silence or distract us from that which is before us. Let me just say that your shepherd is bigger than your valley. He's bigger than your fears. He's bigger than your anxiety. And as you look at Psalms 23, I want you to notice something. In verses 1 through 3, it's as if this sheep is talking through the fence. He's doing some sheep evangelism or something, man. It's like he's talking to other sheep through the fence. And he's testifying about the goodness of his shepherd. Man, I got the best shepherd. He leads me. He leads me to these paths, He leads me to these pastures that are lush and green by this water that's just still and calm but refreshing. I got the best shepherd. And then in verses 4 through 6, it's like now he's talking to the shepherd directly. It's personal, it's intimate. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they're comforting me. You prepare a place for me. You anoint me. Philip Keller calls this a strategic part of the passage. Because in your valley, during your shadow moments of life, when it's your Saturday, the Lord wants to be this in your life. He wants you to know him in this way, that he's leading you through that valley, that season, that moment. The Lord is leading his sheep and he's brought them to this valley, all right? Because they have to get to the green pastures that are in the higher plains, in the higher fields. And the only way to get to those pastures is how? Through the valley, because you're not going to scale the valley straight up. You have to go through it. In John chapter 10, verse 3, Jesus is speaking of himself as the great shepherd, as the gatekeeper. He says, to him, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them. You hear that? He goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So let me throw something out at you. The key thought this morning is don't skip the process of growth in your life as you step into a valley. As you find yourself maybe even there right now, know this. The Father cares more about your growth than your comfort. As a parent, don't you care more about your kids' growth than their comfort? I mean, because you see the big picture, right? You see the potential within them. And if all you do is feed them marshmallows and gummy bears, it's gonna be a problem. I was thinking about this and you know, as a dad and just moments in my life as a parent where, you know, there was some opportunities where I could help my kid or I could hurt my kid. I could prepare my kid or I could hinder him. And there is a moment in Austin's life where his freshman year in high school, he played football and he suffered an injury right at the beginning of the season. I can't remember the medical term, but it was with his growth plate on his hip where the muscle pulled the bone away on that growth plate. So it was a fracture. And we just thought it was a muscle strain. And so we, you know, the trainers kind of dealt with it that way. A doctor dealt with it that way. And so he just limped his way through the season. It was terrible to watch him run out on the football field because you could just tell he was in so much pain. And finally, we got to the end of the season. He played through the season really on one leg. And we got through the season. And he went to another doctor. And the doctor knew what it was immediately. And he healed up. It was a 6-month process so for him to get better. And within that window of time, he was like, you know what? Dad, Mom, I really don't want to play football anymore. And I was like, dude, you are the hope for the Denver Broncos. We are all you got. Or they are all you got. And I was totally cool. I was totally fine with him not playing football. He had some other interests that he wanted to pursue, and that was cool, and that was fine. And I said, but here's the deal. If you quit, you're going to go talk to the coach. And you're going to do it the right way. And you're going to have that conversation with your coach, because you learn this really is not about football, though you owe, I think, as you know, I've been there, I think, you know, you owe the person that's leading you conversation and a reason for your why. If you're going to go a different way. And so he was like scared, but he was like, okay, I can do that. And I was like, Austin, I'll go with you if you want me to. I'm there. I'm supporting you. You know, I'm encouraging you. But listen, I wanted him to learn to have a hard and healthy conversation with somebody. You don't leave people hanging. That's not how you do stuff. That's not how I'm gonna raise you to do stuff. You can just quit and not show up and no one ever knows why, then that's stupid. That's coward. You're not gonna do it that way. I'll go with you, I'll be there, I'll support you and encourage you, but you have to go through with this. And you know what he did? He went. He had the conversation. And it was healthy. And I was there, you know, by his side. But I'm so glad that he went and had that conversation. Because it wasn't about football. It was about doing a hard thing and walking through. I mean, Austin, this is going to be really easy compared to some of the conversations you're going to have in the future. But it's all preparatory. Austin, it may feel like a valley now, but man, this is nourishing you for future conversations and future decisions. God will never let you down. Even when you don't feel like he's around, right? He's not gonna let you down. You can believe that, trust that on your Saturday and in your valley. David did, so can you. One of the greatest abilities that we have when we're going in those valley moments is what I want to call and what I want to submit as stickability. Sometimes you're like, man, I don't know what else to do. I don't know what, if I can do anything else, the only thing I can do is stick to my shepherd. It's stickability. I trust him while I'm in this valley, and the only way to get through the mountain meadow is to walk through some of the valleys. You don't know him as your healer unless you've had some sickness. You don't know him as your provider unless you've been without, right? You don't know him as your protector unless you've had some enemies. You don't know him as almighty unless you've felt weak. And if you want to know the lush mountain meadows, then you have to go through the valleys. So here's a key thought. The Lord doesn't dump us in the mouth of the valley and say, I'll see you on the other side. Maybe. If you make it. Or, hey, if you get to the other side, I'll meet you at Arby's, man. I'll buy. Good luck. You'll be hungry. It's a long journey. He doesn't do that. Look at what verse 4 says. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are there with me. You're going to give me comfort, your staff. You're going to give me protection, your rod. The rod is AKA slobber knocker. Right? Wild animal would come up, the shepherd would be like, dish. Or they were so skilled that they could even throw those things to take out the predators. It was a hard chunk of wood that would not come from a limb of the tree. They would pull that wood from the root system of the tree. It was hard, it was solid, and they would shape it. The staff would be used to pull the sheep close to the shepherd, to hook them, to bring them back, to pull them from the river if they would fall into the river or to the watering hole. But it was also used to comb through the sheep's coat as they would pass through the gate each night to come into the corral. The shepherd would comb through the coat of the wool of the sheep to examine the skin, to examine the health of the sheep. Some of us want to skip the valley. Some of us want to skip our Saturday, and I get it. I understand that. None of us want those things. But if he is good, then he'll be with you through the valley, and he's good. Some of us think, though, but if he's good, then why am I having this valley? Why am I going through this? What's up with this? Where is God in this? How come this happened? It hurts. And I know, right? We're at this, at the mouth of the valley, and we're just hoping that somehow over the horizon will come a Huey or a Black Hawk helicopter and will let down a little cage and will pick us up and fly us above the valley up to the Green Meadows, right? I mean, that's the way I want to do it, right? Have you ever seen a flying sheep? I mean, that's what I want to be, right? I don't want that. I don't want to walk the valley. I want to be airlifted to bypass the valley. But it's the valley, it's going to make you strong. Your faith and your trust won't be developed if you're just airlifted all the time. But it's developed when you have to lean into him all the time. Understand the rod and the staff are an extension of your owner's right hand. Do you get that? The rod and the staff are the extension of him. It's protecting you. It's comforting you. It's interesting that the rod and the staff in the New Testament, it would be referred to as the sword of the Spirit, are references to the Word of God. Scripture protects us. Scripture strengthens us. Scripture gives us peace. Scripture gives us hope. Scripture gives us guidance. Scripture gives us perspective. Scripture gives us a calm. Scripture gives you an endurance. Scripture gives you a foundation. Scripture gives you a strength. Scripture gives you a perspective. Scripture gives you courage. Scriptures protect us. They're like guardrails, keeping us safe. They're like light illuminating the step before us. They're like wisdom, helps us to know the mind and the will of the Lord. And their encouragement that they speak life to your soul. The Word of God is an extension of the mind and the will of God. And you and I, my friend, have to be in Scripture. We have to study it. It's like, I don't feel like I get anything out of it. I don't care what you feel like. I don't care what your feelings speak to you. This word is more than our feelings. It's the eternal, living, life-giving Word of God. The heart of a sheep whose shepherd is the Lord draws courage and strength from the Word of God. Look at Psalms 139, verse 23. The psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." How do you do that? Be in the Word. Can I encourage you with the Word of the Lord this morning? Can I encourage you with Psalm or 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13? "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it," that you're able to endure this valley because there is a way of escape on the other side, and there's green pastures on the other side. Keep pressing through. There is a way of escape, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. James chapter 1, verse 2, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing." Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, God is not man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind. He has said, and it will, and will it not be, will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? How important is the word of God for you and I to feed on? How did Jesus approach his Saturday in his valley? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, and looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, endured his valley, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. How did he do it? For the joy that was set before him. Think of your life as a well-engineered ocean liner, if you would, for a moment, right? And you're out in the ocean, you're out in the Atlantic or Pacific, wherever you want to be at, and you're out there, and you're surrounded by billions and billions and billions of gallons of water, are you not? And that those gallons, billions of gallons of water can represent your valley. They can represent a fallen world in which you live and are navigating through right now. And sometimes the ride out in the ocean is, I've never been on a cruise. I'm kind of a germophobia, and the thought of being on a ship with 5,000 people just is like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know if I'll ever go, but if I do, I'll have a thing with me. But think about it. You're out there, and sometimes they say it's like glass, right? And other times, though, it's like, where's those pills? Because I'm getting seasick. And you're just bobbing and rocking and rolling, and the ship's popping and making noises. And you're like, where's land? I want land. And sometimes the waves are monstrous and overwhelming, aren't they? I mean, have you seen some of those pictures where a ship is out there and it's, I mean, there's a massive storm and you see these waves that are five times the size of the ship just coming right at them and it goes right over it. Sometimes that feels like our life, doesn't it? One thing hits you and then another swell comes from another direction and smacks you and you're just like, wow, I don't feel very stable. But listen to me, the only way you will sink is if that water, that evil, is allowed inside. The only way that valley will overcome you, the only way that evil will overcome you, if it's allowed inside of you. It's the only way. In other words, you're going to make it. Lock down the hatches, do what you need to do, and keep pressing through because there's calm water coming. So what does it mean for our shepherd to guide us with a rod and a staff? I think there's a few things as we wrap this up this morning. Number one is that you're going to have to name what's keeping you up at night. How many know anxiety isn't a thing? It's not your enemy, and it's not your giant. Anxiety is a symptom of something else. What's keeping you up? What's scaring you right now? What is that valley? What is that shadow? What I'm asking you to do is to identify it. I mean, there's examples of all kinds of valleys, isn't there? There's my kids. My kids are this thing that's keeping me up at night because I'm worried sick about them. I don't know where they're at. I don't know the decisions that they're making. They're destructive. I didn't raise them this way. And it's like, how did I mess up? What did I do? Maybe it's worry. How are we going to make it through this? It's fear, it's finances, it's someone, it's that person. Maybe it's a sickness. But I'm asking you to name it. And then I'm asking you to speak to it. Not with your words, but with the rod and the staff and the sword of the Spirit. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, we read it way too often that it's become so common. But Paul writes, in the midst as he's sitting in a prison cell, as he's waiting his execution, as he's in his valley, says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, surpasses all valleys, surpasses all evil, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. God, I praise you that this valley is not going to last forever. God, I thank you that in the midst of this valley, in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of this evil that's all around me, in the midst of my inability to understand it, Lord, I thank you that you're walking with me through this valley. God, I thank you that I don't have the courage to take the next step, but you are my foundation, and so you're going to give me the strength to take the next step. God, you're with me. Remember this, all right? Shadows always make situations seem bigger, don't they? My hand isn't that big, right? Just remember who you're walking with. Is anything bigger than your God? Secondly, is you're going through the valley. You're not dying in the valley. You aren't camping. You're not staying there. You're not going to live there. You're not going to live in this current situation. Catherine Marshall said this, God is the only one who can make the valley of trouble a door of hope. The psalmist declares, I walk through. It's like in my mind, I'm seeing David living a little modern life, grabbing his beats, start listening to the rhythm of the words of Scripture, listening to the promises of God, putting his Spotify workout playlist on, and said, let's go through. The psalmist said in Psalms 27, verse 3, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going through. Number three is you have to trust in your shepherd's defensive capabilities. How many of you, this is not a knock on my wife, but let me ask you a question. How many of you would feel safe walking the streets of Haiti at night if Robin was leading the way? I've seen her mean and I've seen her mad, so I'd feel secure. I've never been the victim of it. No, she's been mad at me a few times. But I'm just saying, if I'm walking the streets of a dark place, I'm thinking, Those, she's not wearing pythons on her arm, if you know what I'm saying. She's not, but I'm thinking if I'm in a place like that, in Caleb Shipley, who's, you know, has his weekend service with National Guard, is like before me, and Garrett Leckington's behind me, I'm thinking, I'd feel a little bit safer. And besides, all I have to do is outrun Garrett, and I'll get to safety. Right? I mean, how many of you, though, like if Robin's your option, you're like, well, it's at least I'm not by myself. But if there is like a Navy SEAL, if you had Navy SEAL or Robin, who are you picking? I'm picking Navy SEAL. Sorry, Robin, go home, be safe. I'm going through this valley with this guy. Sheep would lay down at night and were able to sleep because they knew their shepherd was going around the perimeter, keeping guard over them as they would sleep. So, in other words, there's no need for two people. There's no need for the sheep to stay up at night going, oh, I wonder if there's a cougar over the hill. Oh, I wonder. Oh, worrying about that because the shepherd has it under control. He's watching. He's looking. He's caring. There's no sense staying up and worrying about that because the shepherd's watching over him. Psalms 21, he who watches over you, listen to what the psalmist says. He who watches over you neither sleeps nor slumbers. Have a confidence in his ability to defend you and protect you. Look, I want you to sleep well at night. I want you to walk through your tomorrow with courage and confidence and an endurance. But when you get up tomorrow morning, if you're in a valley right now, there may be a good chance that, guess what? Tomorrow morning, you're in that valley. The issue still may be there. You still look up and you still see the walls of a massive canyon that you're in. Can I encourage you? Can I exhort you? Can I plead with you to keep walking through? Because you know there's a field waiting for you. You know there's a rod watching over you at night and a staff to guard you by day. How ironic is it that our parents would tell us when we couldn't sleep at night, when I couldn't sleep anymore because my mom said the lady that was walking around the neighborhood was a witch? How ironic is it that we parents tell our kids to do what when they can't sleep at night? Hey, go count sheep. God isn't saying to you in the midst of your valley, hey, just go count some sheep. He's saying to you, hey, I'm counting my sheep and I see you. I know exactly where you're at. I know exactly where you're going through. And I know exactly how long it's going to take us to get through this valley. So bed down and rest in me. But get ready and get up because we're going through. And you can make it. And I'm with you. I'm here to comfort you. But I'm also here to protect you. I'm here to prod you a little bit at times, but I'm also here to whisper into your ear and to say, hey, we're in this together. I'm counting you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, they're all here. Oh, we're missing one. What's the parable say? I'm leaving the 99. I'm going to go after my one because they're valuable to me. They're important to me. And my friends, so are you. Would you pray with me? Michael, if you'd come. Father God, I know there's some here this morning that they feel like they're being swallowed up by the walls of the valley that they are in. This overwhelming feeling, a feeling of loss, a feeling of what do I do now? But God, I thank you for this psalm. What a timely message for all of us. What a timely message specifically for some. God, in the name of Jesus, these walls of this valley will not swallow them. But God, you're protecting them and you're leading them through this season. If you're here this morning just by an upraised hand, you'd say, Steve, that's exactly how I feel. I feel like I'm being swallowed by this situation that I'm in right now, this situation that I've been in, this situation that I know is coming. And I just feel like it's beginning to swallow me. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? I just want to pray for you right where you're at. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you. Anyone at all, I'd say, man, I'm in a valley. I see that hand. See that hand. God, Lord, can Can we just all do this, church? That's right where you sit seated. Would you just lift your hands to the Lord? Lord, we raise our hands to you. We talked in Sunday school this morning about the role of the Holy Spirit and that you're the Spirit of adoption by which we're able to cry, Abba, Father. Literally, in our vernacular, that means daddy. And Lord, I can hear in my mind's eye a kid out on the playground who's fallen in the gravel and is yells out, Daddy, Mommy, Daddy, Daddy. And Lord, for some in this room, that's about all that they can muster is that cry. But I thank you, Lord, that we've been adopted by you if we've called on you and we know you as our Lord and Savior. So Lord, those hands that are been lifted up to you, would you be their Abba Father? Would you be their daddy in the midst of this valley that they find themselves in? God, may they find the safety and the security of doing what John did and putting his head upon your chest, Jesus, and hearing your heart and feeling your comfort in the midst of the valley that they were beginning to walk into as just hours later, Jesus would be betrayed. They'd walk through the crucifixion and their Saturday and then the resurrection. God, I thank you, Lord, in the midst of this valley, I speak light, I speak clarity, I speak a calmness over them in Jesus' name. For those of you that are here this morning and you just feel like you're stuck, you feel like you're stuck in your Saturday, you feel like you're stuck in a valley, if that's you, would you just slip up your hand right where you're at? God, I feel like I'm stuck. I feel like it's Groundhog Day all over again. God, I pray for breakthrough in Jesus' name for them. God, I pray for a shift, even if it's just a little step of momentum. God, let them see, God, you're working. God, may they feel encouraged. May they feel uplifted. May they feel, Lord, your presence, fresh wind upon their face, just refreshing them. And Lord, for those here this morning that they need comfort, their life story is to find comfort in other things, and they've come here this morning and they feel empty, they feel dry, they feel broken. And Lord, the Good Shepherd saying to them, I want to comfort you. I want you to walk with me. I want you to let me lead you. And I want you to find comfort in me and not the things of this world. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your shepherd, to lead you, to be your Lord and your Savior, there's no better day than today to allow him to be your Lord and Savior. And you've never asked him, all you need to do right where you're at is to say, Lord, I know I've tried to lead myself and I know I've sinned. I bear on my body the marks and the pain of some of my decisions. And Lord, I'm asking you to be my shepherd now, to forgive me of my sins and to lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, to take my mess and lead me to your meadow. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you for your peace here, Lord God. Thank you for your presence here, Lord.
Everybody dance. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.